Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings here on the Voice of America, talking to a couple of rock and roll superstars who started their rock and roll machine back in the 90s, and they're still going strong to this very day. In fact, they have a brand new album that just came out November 18th called Get Rollin'. We'd like to welcome Chad Kruger and Ryan Peake to the Voice of America. They are Nickelback.
How's it going, man? Thanks for having us.
How are you, Larry?
Great to have you guys. I know that the last time that I had Chad on, you guys were on tour, and it was 2010, and a lot of stuff's gone on, you know, since that time. A couple albums, tours. You had throat surgery, married, unmarried, but you're looking good, and glad to have you guys with us again. Tell me about the new album, Get Rollin'. I want to hear all about this new album. I heard, you know, I haven't heard the album yet, but I heard that it's going to be a much harder rock edge than stuff that you guys did in the past.
Well, I think people are definitely leaning that way because of the first single. The first single was called San Quentin, and it's definitely it's a hard rock song for sure. It's a bit of a punch in the face. It's a nice way to start off the. It's the first song on the album, and it's a great reintroduction of the band. We always like to do that. You're never going to hear us come out of the gate with a new record and lead off with something that's softer, poppier, more melodic. We're definitely going to always come back and let everybody know that we're definitely a rock band.
New Nickelback, always a punch in the face. That's what we say.
That's the bumper sticker.
That's the bumper sticker.
Yes, just like an elbow to the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. How did you guys meet? I mean, you know, you've kept this band together for a long time now. And as if I'm not mistaken, 50 million records sold, which puts you just behind the Beatles as far as, you know, international rock bands selling records. That's a phenomenal accomplishment. But how did you meet, and how are you keeping this all together so many years?
Well, Chad used to make sandwiches at the local deli.
I was gonna go with an internet dating site. So I was picking one.
I knew something was coming. Yeah. Chad used to mow my lawn, or was that? I mow your lawn? I can't remember how that went.
The minute I saw him, the first thing I said to him, I said, "You don't look anything like your Tinder profile."
I get that a lot, though. I do get that a lot. That's nothing wrong with that, though.
It was a horrific letdown.
It was a different time. We grew up in the same town. We're from a small town in Alberta, Canada, called Hanna, Alberta, and it's about 2,900 people. So I moved there in, I believe, 87, I think. And you know everybody in town. Everybody knows everybody. It really is that cliche.
Once I started writing some riffs and I was just kind of come up with some ideas, I, by default, was just singing them because, you know, I was the one kind of writing them. And I brought them to Ryan. And I don't know when I got the job of the lead guy. You know, I never really wanted the job. I just kind of got it by default. You know, it's just everyone else just sort of pushing you towards the front of the stage. Like, you do it, you go, you sing. And so it wasn't because I showed up and I was Pavarotti, you know, it's just because I think I was the one that was kind of coming up with the ideas and the melodies and, you know, sort of eking out the first ideas of what songs were going to sound like. And everyone's like, all right, you sing it. Here we go. And then we just went and got some studio time in Vancouver. And in 48 hours, recorded a 7-song demo and mixed it. And there I was singing on the damn thing. And the rest is history.
Well, for those that are just tuning in around the world, we're talking to Chad and Ryan from Nickelback, who have had 23 number one songs. As I mentioned, 50 million records sold. And I'm just looking at all these accolades that you guys have collected over the years: 6 Billboard Awards, 12 Juno Awards, 3 American Music Awards, 2 MTV Awards, and the list goes on and on and on.
We've got time. If you want to just keep going,
Billboard's Rock Band of the Decade. And, you know, so of all of these honors and awards, what means the most? What is your biggest accomplishment?
I was waiting for you to get down the list. I was going to pick one.
Oh, man.
I think the one I'm most fond of is a band that's been together for a quarter of a century and still going. That's the one I'm most fond of for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's absolutely it. It is funny how long you're in the business. And for me, the awards are nice for somebody to recognize you when you're doing, but the thing is to have longevity as a band is truly amazing, just from our inside perspective, but also just getting validated from people that still want to hear your music. I mean, ultimately, isn't that, you know, why we do this? We do it to be creatively fulfilled while you're making music, and you want people to enjoy that. And the fact that people still want to listen to the stuff we put out, that's the end game. That's the end game for me. I don't think it matters how many, any kind of awards you win. If you can still go out there and still have people come out to see you play because they want to, and they want to hear your music. I mean, that's the biggest pat on the back I think we could get.
What's the biggest response when you do a concert? Is it How You Remind Me, or what's the song that you sing that gets the crowd crazy?
It kind of changes from country to country.
Yeah. Burn to the Ground, pretty standard. People.
Yeah,
like
that's
that
a
one.
That's a big one, because we end the night with that one, and that's a big rocker. We usually end the main set with How You Remind Me. We get everybody singing along. And then if we come back out and we do the encore, then we'll do three songs or something. And we usually end the entire night with Burnt to the Ground. And that's the one that usually just, like, if
you were... Gotta be somebody as well. That's actually
gotta be somebody's... Too. Yeah, that's a... It's funny.
It just feels like an afterthought sometimes. But every time we play it, I'm surprised. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I never really grasped how big that song got until we started. We start that song and the place goes nuts. And it's like, Mm-hmm. That one's always a surprise for me.
Do you guys have a pre-show ritual? Do you have any routine that you go through?
Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't screw this up.
I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this again. My nerves are just, I'm too nervous. Can I still fly home? I don't want to do this.
Stay out of jail. Don't get canceled. Stay out of jail. Don't get canceled. Stay out of jail. Don't get canceled.
Don't say anything in between songs. Shut your mouth.
I've seen you in concert so many times, and I love the music, and it's have the ninth album out, you know, get rolling. How does this album differ from the last album, or does it not differ? Did you do anything differently? Did you try anything differently?
I think the last album differed from this. This one is kind of, well, I think that, I don't know, Chad, what you think, but I think this one is kind of how we normally would put together an album. The last one we felt, Feed the Machine, we felt like, you know what, this, I think we need to kind of reestablish our position in the rock genre, I guess, because we had done NoFX Address previously and we really experimented with that album. So we leaned into the rock for Feed the Machine. But this one, I think it was kind of back to, okay, let's balance this out with, you know, a bunch of the styles that we like to gravitate to. I think this one is kind of back along the lines of, as far as balance of types of songs, that's kind of where we're at with this album. Would you say?
I there's some on there for everybody.
There's someone. There you go. That's what I meant to say. There you go.
We got, if you like ice cream, we got a flavor for you.
See, I'm not the jingle guy. This is the jingle guy here. He nailed it. Yeah. That was awesome.
So how did COVID influence, you know, you putting together this album? I mean, you guys had to face a difficult time there. Canada, everybody was isolated and couldn't do the thing that they love and wanted to do.
You know, we started off doing the same thing everyone else did. You know, you hunker down. Everyone just sort of looks around. You know, you lift your head up once in a while and do the groundhog thing and see if the world's still there. And then we finally just came to the conclusion, which we should have come to the conclusion much sooner. We should probably take this time and make a new record. And we did. But the nice thing was there wasn't a ton of pressure. We didn't have a deadline. Usually there's a record label or a manager going, hey, guys, the longer you sit in the studio, the longer it's going to take for you to get back on the road. And I don't make 20% of you in the studio. So come on, guys, let's get you back on the road.
So this is a world tour. Are you guys going on a world tour?
Yeah. 2023.
Yep. That's great. Yep. I mean, and Do you have favorite places you look forward to play more than others? Is there some places that you have some fond memories you go to?
You're in Washington right now?
Yes.
Love Washington.
Amazing.
Love Washington.
Amazing.
Yep.
But we are broadcasting to 100 countries outside of the
U.S. We love all those countries, too.
All those 100.
Every single one. Where's your biggest listenership?
We've got Africa. Have you been to Africa?
South Africa.
Amazing.
Okay. Yes. With South Africa. We're out of South Africa.
We did Middle Joburg. East. We've done Cape Town.
Kuwait.
Abu Dhabi. Dubai. Yep.
Thailand. Philippines.
Yep.
Japan.
Love Tokyo. Japan. Love Osaka. Japan's
a blast. Australia is a lot of fun. I like going.
Must be a great experience when you're on stage and you sing in English and the crowd doesn't speak English necessarily, but they know the words to every song you play.
Yeah. It's adorable when it comes back with the accent. You know, when the accent comes back to I love it. What's interesting though, we'll play like you were mentioning, we'll play How You Remind Me, and the crowd will just screw up. They'll just keep singing as though I'm doing a different part of the song, and they just kind of keep singing. You know, this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me. And I'm already onto of what I really am. Like I'm already doing that part, and they're just kind of like. You know, and that'll be like America or Canada, right? Like an English speaking nation, you know, and then you go to Japan and they're just dead on. They're just like, they've got it nailed. It's not even, you know.
It's a very organized, you know, Japan, and sometimes they don't show emotion. So it's kind of like, you don't know what the response is. The Japanese audiences are a little different.
We played Budokan a couple times there, and we heard that they used to go up and down the, no, this is hearsay. I could be wrong. This is what I've heard. That it used to be pretty subdued for the concerts. They would have people going up and down the aisles. If you got up out of your chair, got excited, they had these rolled up newspapers. They're like, don't, like, sit down. And just to kind of like not let it get out of hand, I guess. But no, they are more reserved, but in certain clubs and in arenas, like, no, they like to lose it like anybody else. It's a blast.
So we and Ryan's actually pronouncing it correctly. It's Budokan, but for all of us, you know, who the big album Live at Budokan.
Cheap Trick.
Everyone globally has been saying Budokan, but it's Budokan. So when we get over there, like Budokan, and they keep correcting us. They're looking at us like, where did you guys learn to say the name of the arena, you know, improperly? we've all just been saying this thing incorrectly, but the local people from the arena, they come to our tour manager, our production manager, stage manager, everybody. And they say, listen, you tell your singer that if he comes off stage, like if he jumps off stage into the crowd, you guys will never be welcome back again. And this is a big thing. You got to, and they're like, our singer hasn't come off stage in 8 years. He's not coming off stage. Don't worry about us. And they didn't tell me. And sure enough,
the one night you do it,
I jump into the crowd and it just makes it look like I'm just flipping them the bird. Literally like, Oh, I'm not allowed to come off stage. Huh? All right. We'll just see what happens.
I'll show you.
I jump off stage and they're like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And there I am right in the crowd and I'm singing to them, high-fiving everybody. I get back on stage and they're like, why'd you come off stage? And I'm like,
he's like, what did I do?
I don't know. Why is this a big deal? And they're like, because they told us that you weren't supposed to come off stage. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me I wasn't supposed to come off stage. So how the hell was I supposed to know? And I had to go and apologize for something I didn't even know I'd done wrong. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting canceled in Budokan. I didn't even know what I did.
But we loved it.
Oh, well, Chad, apparently you've been a bad boy a couple of times. Now, I don't understand this, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did you break into your middle school? I've heard of people breaking out of their middle school.
Yeah, for a place I never wanted to be, you know, be at during the day. I evidently really wanted to get in there at night.
It's the rush, hey?
Yeah. No, it was like I just thought it'd be hilarious to just skateboard, you know, up and down the halls and you know, I don't know what the hell we wanted to do, but it was.
Kids, man.
The irony. Oh, the irony.
Yes, the irony.
27 years together, what do you think has been the thing that's kept you together? I mean, a lot of bands don't last as long as you guys have. And, you know, it goes without saying, there's going to be tension. There's going to be conflict because you're a family, you're a tight unit, you're together quite a bit on the road, living together, all that. So what do you think it is that's kept Nickelback together for 27 years?
Ryan Peake. Ryan Peake has kept us together.
And his love of baseball.
No, he knows what I'm going to say. He knows what I'm about to say. Like, so he's our Switzerland. And there's two brothers in the band, right? So we've got myself and we've got Mike, and Mike's the bass player. And I'm 47 years old. Mike's 50 now. And it doesn't matter. You'd think that with age would come this grace. And, it doesn't. My mother always said, you know how family members know how to push your buttons? Because they installed them. And like anybody on the planet could say anything to me 1,000 times and they wouldn't even get a reaction out of me. Mike even just hints at something. And I'm like, what did you say? No, just say it again. What did you say? And then I was like, oh, easy. All right. Everybody just go to their corners. And it's been a quarter of a century of Ryan just, getting in between us and being very diplomatic and he goes to Mike and I'm sure he's like, your brother's a little bit of a loose cannon. And then he comes to me and he's like, well, you know how your brother is. I don't even know what you say to calm me down. And then, and then we always just find this common ground and we get back on stage together and we play. I mean, there are bands that don't have siblings in them that, lasted 4 or 5 years and they couldn't make it. Like, I don't think anybody realizes how short lived the Beatles were.
Right.
Like they were only together for what? 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Six.
Biggest
six
band years. In the world.
Right.
Biggest six band years. In the world. Couldn't make it together. Couldn't get along. No siblings. Mm. And then you look at AC/DC, those guys, wow, they've been around a long, long time.
Yeah. I think honestly, in all seriousness, I think if you're respectfully honest with each other, as I think we are, we get there and there's moments where it's not quite there, but we get there and compromise to a degree. Mm-hmm. Otherwise just the stuff won't work. Mm-hmm. It just won't work because we are truly four different people.
That's a life lesson,
It's true. I mean, if you don't want things to work, that's easy. That's really easy. if you want things to work, it takes a bit of work. So
yeah. And speaking of honesty, just in our last interview, the four of us, Mike's on vacation with the family and he's over in Greece right now. And so he jumps on and there's all four band members were on that one. And someone said, the question was, do you regret anything over your entire career? And if so, would you change it? And Mike just chimes in. Yeah, I was trying to talk Chad into cutting his hair like years before he finally got around to doing it. And I'm just like, really? Really?
Too much honesty, right?
that might be the tactful honesty.
Now, that's Chad, true. Your birthday's coming up too. I mean, you mentioned you're 47. You'd be 48 around the corner.
No. You misheard me. 27.
Oh, 27.
27.
Plenty seven.
Yep. Hanging on.
What have you learned since you started? What has 27 years of rock music taught you guys?
Oh, just put more blonde in your hair and people won't know how old you actually are. I don't.
There you go.
I don't know if it's.
I got to get some blonde.
I don't know if it's working or not, but I went just full brunette for a while. And my girlfriend was like, why don't you throw some blonde back in there? And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that lesson.
She's actually in the room watching me do this interview right now. She's going like this.
She's going, shut up.
I'll tell you right now. I think what I've learned in 27 years at this point is that if you can stick it out long enough, just outlast, be around and outlast others, I guess. That actually is the result of just trying to stick around and just to see what happens. Mm. I don't know. That's, I think that we've been able to do that. And I don't know. We know when you get into any kind of business, cycles kind of come and go.
You guys enjoy what you're doing. You truly like each other. You have fun. And I think that's what keeps it together, keeps you going.
Absolutely.
And of course, the great music. You continue to put out great music. You reinvent yourselves. I love the new album, the new sound, the new singles. And Get Rolling is the album. It's out now here in November and came out on the 18th. We've got Chad. We've got Ryan from Nickelback. Where can people go if they want to find out where you're performing? Give us some social sites, some websites, so the people around the world can keep in touch with Nickelback.
Go to nickelback.com.
That's easy. Nickelback.com, your source of all your information.
Absolutely.
Nickelback. We even go there for information on us because we don't know what tells us.
Yeah, if I don't know so something, I have to stop in there once in a while.
Now, I asked this to you in 2010, Chad, but I got a few listeners who wrote in and said, when you're talking to the guys, please ask, how'd you come up with the name Nickelback?
World War II production plane, a World War II fighter plane that never made it off the production line. Do you believe that?
Nope.
Okay. Damn it. All right.
Because I heard the real reason. So.
Yeah. Okay. So Mike was working at a coffee shop and everything was like $2.95, $3.95 or $4.95. And so all day long, he was just sitting there like, here's your Nickelback. Here's your Nickelback. And then he called me up and he's like, what do you think of the name Nickelback? And I said, well, what does it mean? He's like, well, it doesn't mean anything. I'm like, perfect. Let's use it.
Better the Village Idiot.
I don't know. I like Village Idiot.
It sticks.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. And let's not wait 12 years to meet again. When
Absolutely.
You come to DC, I'd love to have you guys on again. The audience around the world loves your music. Oh, by the way, the troops are tuned in. Is there something you guys want to say to the troops?
I just want to say thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a fan of the music. And we'd love to come play for them sometime.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Nickelback. Get Rolling is the name of the new album, and you are watching VOA TV. This is Border Crossings.